yourself in danger when you're stopped by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will take a super soaker, so the back that's for a loss, and he will bring the skin alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there was no one else who
could. Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer Ass Clowns across the frigid netted Zog Plain in the open air coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also, to my audience and my audience for tonight, the lost and looking and found sheep of the house of Israel. Greetings. Now, tonight is the 1st of September of 2011, and it's episode number 85.5 of the Movement Turd. And I was listening to a response by Harold Covington, his Radio Free Northwest, talking about all the, quote, men in the silk suits, a.k.a. the Zog secret police, be it of the Secret Service or the FBI or whoever. And they've been nosing around for the last week or so. Well, what happens is, from what I gather, this Kevin Harpham, a.k.a. Joe Stumpy, who was caught, who was supposedly caught for what Covington calls the bionic backpack and essentially the latest agent provocateur method to go ahead and go after people with domestic terrorism in this wonderful Zogland of ours. Why, he got caught last March, supposedly, with this bombing plot at this Martin Luther King thingamajig, and he has a pretty good excuse or a pretty good alibi, but they're not going to turn him loose for that. And his trial, which was supposed to be this week, or on the 22nd of August, was set back until September 12th. So I think that's the reason you have the Zog pig lice beating the woods for some tard they can find to essentially be, you know, the John Doe number two of the bionic backpack. And Covington had a very good thing to say in that, folks, it's best don't even talk to the pigs, much less say anything which they can go ahead and interpret to be a lie later on. You see, there's a law against lying to Zog pig lice, but they have absolutely no law, you know, no law against lying, you know, to you. Essentially, in our wonderful Zog, it boils down to where, hey, Zog can do whatever the hell it wants to do. Now, folks, I don't really have a problem with that belief, because as I look at it, if the pigs can go ahead and, like they did to me, steal my family, send me a nut house, torture me, dope me up, knock out four or five of my teeth, well, I can do as much or more to regime criminals and anyone who supports them. That's why my message is about the Great Tribulation. I don't worry about really what happened to Edgar Steele. As I look at it, we've gone too long without a civil war. We've gone without the cleansing effect of the civil war to go ahead and exterminate the Jews, exterminate the niggers, exterminate the beaners. But the main problem we've had is the same problem we had in the days of Noah, to where Zog Babylon does whatever it wants and its Uyghur herd animals goes ahead and lifts it. Doesn't even, you know, goes ahead and starts listening to mamzers like Obagender, Bender, and the rest of these tards whining like pussies about, oh, how we oughtn't to hate. Now, Covington, he sort of came clean about how he had talked to this pig. And I talked to these pigs on April 14th of this year, these two Secret Service lying bastards. And pretty well, I went ahead and told exactly what came about, is that it was just simply lies on the basis of what Eli James and Brian Rio had said. I pretty well informed them that I had no hostile intent to the nigger, even though I was suing the worthless bastard, because as I look at it, Obongo's destiny is just like George Bush's destiny. It's to destroy Zog, Babylon, the third and the final. Is to go ahead and make things so intolerable and things so screwed up that sooner or later there will be a collapse, an economic collapse, a military collapse, and a social collapse, an absolute collapse, which will end up in pretty well the destruction through the four horsemen of the apocalypse of essentially close to 300 million Zoglings, and pretty well the rest of the planet. Now, I went ahead and seen on National Geographic where they claim there's 7 billion people on this earth. And they were doing a special about in Brazil how they're not breeding as much as what they used to. Well, folks, we have no shortage of these people breeding and breeding and breeding and breeding. So, folks, that's what we're going to go ahead and talk about. But the main problem, like I've always said, is really not a nigger problem or greaser problem. Because, folks, if we had a white society which knew what it was doing, essentially these animals, these beasts of the field, these mamsers would not be allowed to live among us. No one would want to go ahead and breed with these creatures, so the mamsers would not be among us. And, folks, we don't even have so much even a Jew problem. Although they're evil, they're the spawn of Satan, there's no such thing as a good Jew. And Eli James and Bill Fink, in their own way, have proven that to be so. What we have, folks, is a Uyghur problem. And until Uyghurs end up dying as a result of their own stupidity, we cannot have any change. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break and wait for Russ to call. And we'll go ahead and be back with the next section of the Movement Turd after the theme song for the show, Hail Victory.
Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. I wake up and ride away. If the Uyghur come to mind, the way they run to and fro, the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Uyghurs keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop.
Okay. All right, folks, we have Russ on the show. And I'll go ahead and click the thing on. I went ahead and sent you a link to the show, or tonight's show. It's about Alex Winder and how this character, Joe Snuffy, is awaiting trial. And essentially, I think Linder is out to go ahead and catch on him or something like that. And I don't think that really too much concerns you. You don't know too much about it. But what I was going to go ahead and say is that this idiot Wickstrom, you know, Wickstrom was yapping crap about, he didn't like your letter from, you know, to that here. And you have Oba Genderbender, the supposedly Australian genderbender, pissers, pifter, possum, whatever. And he said, James Wickstrom reads email from bungling secret agent. He said, Pastor Wickstrom describes Walker as deranged and total moron, which is a fairly conservative assessment of Marty's underwhelming zogbot footman. Walker criticizes Pastor Bob Jones aplenty, but he has never said boo about the Pope of CI's dream of becoming a butcher whose meat trays runneth over with the flesh and offal of white children he is humanely skinned alive until the seventh generation. Now, why is that? The old saying, birds of a feather flock together, couldn't be truer when it comes to the irrepressible group of individuals with whom Marty surrounds himself. There's Johnny, Ultra Boy Britton, Buck McHugh, Banjo Billy, and of course Russ Walker, the absolute cream of society. And he went ahead and played where Wickstrom was essentially reading your email and bitching about it. Were you on there when he was yelling and bitching about you?
I didn't hear it. That doesn't surprise, didn't bother me.
Okay, that was about 15 minutes of diatribe about Wickstrom. Now, I haven't said too much about Wickstrom because Wickstrom is white. Wickstrom is white, but essentially everybody's pretty sure that he's a Zog informant. He went ahead and he used to have, his best friend was this guy named Carlstrom. Let me see. Let me go ahead and type up the Jupedia here. Let me see.
Jim is white. I mean, I've heard he's a federal agent. I don't believe it personally.
Well, I believe it. His own relatives believe it.
Pardon?
His own relatives believe it. Because, well, essentially, he had an FBI agent. He had some FBI agents save him from being, killed by the, killed by the husband of the woman that he had run off with. So
I've heard that story, but I mean,
well, I think it's a true story, though.
Yeah, that's a true story too. But I don't believe he's a federal agent. He spent 5.5 years in the joint. You know, mm-hmm. that's not fun.
We're not talking about what he did in the '80s. We're talking about what was done in the late '90s is what we're talking about. We're not talking about what happened in the '80s. I would not disagree that Wickstrom started out well, but he didn't end up well. You don't think it's right to go ahead and steal somebody else's wife?
Different story.
Have the FBI save you from the pissed off husband? That's not right, is it?
No, that whole thing was sorry. I mean, don't get me wrong now.
Okay. So why wouldn't you believe that Wickstrom is snitching? You know, in return for essentially not being
Well, I guess in the absence of any evidence, I have to presume innocence. That's all I can tell you. But
I was going to go ahead and support Wickstrom. But what happens is that this one old guy in the old resistance says, you don't want to do that because he's going ahead and bringing out old videotapes of himself having sex with this woman that he stole. And
videotapes of him as a woman?
Oh yeah, he was doing this stupid crap here. Let's see. He was pretty well. He had the FBI save his worthless ass from getting you know, from getting killed by the husband. And it doesn't really, that's not so bad, but essentially, go ahead and steal. The guy's name was Karlstrom.
That's
right.
He'd
been friends for 30 years. He was engaged at Eurasia to betrayal in June 2005, according to federal authorities. Karlstrom vowed to cut off Wickstrom's head and place it on his mantle. 2 months later, he was arrested in Michigan after driving all the way from Oklahoma in a pickup truck that contained 4 homemade hand grenades, an assault rifle, a shotgun, 9mm pistol, ski masks, and a pair of handcuffs.
Now, that's got to be pretty stupid of him to do that, but that's
what he... But he said he'd come to kill former fellow pastor Wickstrom. And what happens, Wickstrom, long known for his apoplectic exhortation to mute murder Jews and government officials, greatly praised the FBI and Michigan State Police, who he had said have done an outstanding job. So, in any case, that's this man's history. Now, I think it's an evil, and I think it's a history, really, of treason. I think it's a treasonous history. I do not think that going ahead and stealing somebody's wife and then having federal agents send this guy to prison where he died in prison, I mean, I think that's pretty despicable myself.
Well, that got Jim in a lot of trouble, but that's a long story. I mean, whatever happened, and I don't think about it. I mean...
Well, okay. Well, I do think that essentially... I've had some of people who claim to be his own relatives say that they believe their Uncle Jim is a federal informant. So,
well, again, I've heard that from other people. I don't necessarily know it's true or not, but that's wrong.
Well, I'm not worried about Wickstrom stealing my woman. I imagine you're not either, so it might go ahead and seem rather you know, a rather moot point to us. But on the other hand, I don't think it is right for that sort of going on to go ahead and happen.
Oh, I agree with you.
Now, I could go ahead.
I'm saying that's right, but that's a different story.
Wickstrom was bitching about how Bob Jones is not altogether a stockbroker. He's not a Jew. He doesn't act like a Jew, and he called you essentially a complete moron and a complete idiot and all that. It don't bother you at all, huh?
Hey, if you're going to be on this radio type of thing, you have a pretty thick skin. I think I'm worried about it. That's okay.
Okay. So you still don't think much of Bob Jones, though, and you're not really worried about Wickstrom.
I don't.
Okay. Well, Wickstrom's never blocked you or anything like that, has he?
Oh, yes, he has.
Oh, has he?
Well, the last time, sure. I was making comments like, I mean, the last comment I made was that no God-fearing man would ever live in Las Vegas. It's a sinful place. I still believe that.
Well, maybe he can meet Maui Patricia there.
Well, maybe he can. Well, maybe they're buddies for all I know. I have no idea. But, no, I think it's a very sinful place. I would never live in San Francisco or New Orleans or Las Vegas or any number of those places. But, again, my attitude towards Jones is that actions speak louder than words. But people can make up their own minds, that's all.
Well, he used to have this Colonel Farrell. I think Farrell died. So he had Bob Jones. Essentially, Bob Jones would essentially act like Wickstrom's yes man. Sort of like Greggy Howard does with Eli or James. I pretty well despise Greggy as a skillet licking tard.
Wait, you despise who?
Greg Howard. He's a...
I don't know. I heard Greg Howard on the radio. That's all I know about him. That's all.
Well, you know, he's Eli's fellow skillet licking tard who essentially... Whatever you say, I agree with you, Eli. Yes, Eli. No, Eli. Three bags full, Eli. And he started out as a Baptist minister or something like that.
He went to theology school. I guess he quit it after a while. I don't know the details.
No, he said he was a full-fledged Baptist minister.
And he
but
walked away from it at some point.
Yeah, he walked away from it. But, folks, I mean, you have a lot of what I call Baptist hobbyists. These people go ahead and play at whatever they're going to play at. They don't want to go ahead and They don't want to go ahead and actually do anything. Oh, they're playing this thing on MSNBC about Day of Destruction, about what's happened in the 10 years since September 11th. And essentially, I believe that 9/11 was altogether a put-up job to pretty well, you know, to pretty well justify invading Iraq, to justify invading Afghanistan, to pretty well justify on behalf of big oil and Jews doing whatever the hell they want to, and then pretty well doing away with so-called constitutional or civil rights or anything like that. And as a result, you have quite a few problems here.
It was a Hagel's dialectic deal.
Well, yeah. Well, you've heard that. Essentially, what happens is that it was a false flag operation designed specifically so that they would have an excuse or a pretext for doing whatever the hell they wanted to do. And as a result, you had pretty well the rich right-wingers steal everything that they wanted, that you've had them go ahead and you've had them pretty well just...
That's right, that they created a crisis and filled in the blanks.
Yeah, they created a crisis, and they said the solution was to pretty well do away with regulation on the big banksters. Let the Jews do whatever they want. Let's go ahead and start a war for the military-industrial complex. Let's go ahead and, bring in all these beaners. Let's just go ahead and do all this sort of thing. I remember this piece of shit, Alan Simpson, who's talking big shit about how Social Security needs to be done away with and all that. And he was gloating that 9/11 allowed him to do something that this piece of shit from Wyoming, who went ahead and legalized the beaners back in 1986, it allowed him to do something that the government to do whatever they wanted, i.e. put out a national ID card, you know, under the guise of we need this security. And folks, I sort of think that you know, you have Obi Gender Bender whining like a whining that essentially it is so awful and so bad and all this sort of thing to essentially deal with baby traitors and baby regime criminals. Folks, I've had my family destroyed by the local czar, by the local judges, the local police, the local social workers, and the rest. And folks, I don't want their money. I don't want them fired. I don't want them sent to prison. I want them and their families and their children to be destroyed. I mean, that's what I insist upon. I insist upon justice, and my justice is that, hey, folks, anybody who goes ahead and destroys a white family, they and their families die. I mean, it'd be a whole lot easier if you just go ahead and put your head in a chipping machine and just throw your kids in a chipping machine. But you're not going to do that, so essentially there needs to be a great tribulation, there needs to be civil war, until all these people who do evil and these Whiggers who allow them to do evil are absolutely destroyed. So essentially they're whining, you know, here's Obagender Bender essentially whining that a federal informant who went ahead and stole somebody's wife and sent somebody to prison over his misdeeds, while he's just a wonderful character, and this character from, you know, character from Las Vegas, who's just simply his yes man tard, essentially are so much wonderful than what you are, Russ. Now, Russ, I don't think you're a hard man. I don't think you're mean or vicious, but you have all these people going ahead, and essentially, thanks to I've been a polarizing force in Christian identity, haven't I?
You were what?
A polarizing force in Christian identity, wouldn't you say so?
There's no doubt about that.
Huh?
There's no doubt about that.
No doubt about that. Essentially,
you either make strong friends or strong enemies, however you want to look at it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Essentially what I've done is that I've put the Mamzers and the Jews, like Dan Johns, Eli James, Bill Fink, Brian Reel, all these characters on one side, and then me and my allies on the other. Here's Obagender Bender, some character of dubious sexuality who has a gender identity issue, who's running around hiding, not even showing his name, showing his face, who claims to be a Christian identity forum. And folks, the proper name for it should be Two and a Half Mamzers. It's not a Christian identity. It's not Christian identity forum, other than the fact that it pretends to be Christian identity. But essentially, it's just loaded up with Mamzers and the rest of these critters, right?
Whatever it is, it is.
Whatever it is, okay.
The truth will eventually win out.
Well, I believe that. I believe that's exactly the case. I believe that the truth will let out.
We're in 2011 with emails, internet, and everything else. See, one of the things that irritates Wickham about me is I take these messages, his comments and mine, and mail them out to 30, 40 people. So this is my way of communicating my thoughts on the matter. And there's nothing he could do about it, whether he agrees or disagrees. The people are going to get these comments. And what happens after they get them, I don't know. Some people delete them, some people send other people up. But in many ways, Jim, he was a visionary leader for a long time. But I believe that the time has let him go by. He's preaching the identical stuff he was preaching in the 1980s.
Well, he is. And the thing he did is that he assumed that he could do whatever the hell he wanted to do, and that a lot of people would not mind. People would not mind if he went ahead and betrayed his best friend, his ex-best friend, loaded up that friend's wife at a Walmart, ran off with her, and you don't know whether or not, from my gut, that woman left willingly. But then when that man decided under, well, essentially the law, the law is that, hey, someone steals your woman, you have a right to go ahead and go after that worthless thief.
Yeah.
And essentially what he did is that he had the Michigan, the Michigan pigs and the FBI essentially save this worthless ass from what he had coming under our law. And as a result, he has not, he's pretty well been quite defiant in that the law does not apply to him. And essentially, he has used the Zog, apparatus to go ahead and save himself. He would be in Butler's seat if he had kept his pecker in his pocket, but he didn't, did he?
Well, that's speculation. What really burned me about Wickham is one time we were at a feast in Nashville, Tennessee, and he had the balls to talk about the law. Hey, don't be fooling around with someone else's wife if you're talking about the law. I'm sorry. The law applies to every one of us. There's no exception. And we can be sinners, but let's not be hypocrites.
Well, that's pretty well the short of it. That is very much true.
It was the hypocrisy that turned a lot of people off towards Jim. I was talking to one of my friends. Allegedly, Jim is going to go off the air in a month or so. Allegedly, he didn't really give reasons why he was what he's doing. He vaguely alluded to maybe having health problems, maybe being tired, etc. But I believe one of the reasons he had that program was to attract funds in the form of tithing, and also to sell his various products.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that they have not been selling very well, and I guess he thought he just wasn't worth it anymore. I guess he was a throw in a sponge. I don't know. But like one of my friends said, if it had been making money, Jim would have stayed at it. And he's very financially concerned. Maybe he has financial troubles. I have no idea. It's none of my business, but I'm just speculating here.
Well, I was listening to Morris Gillette, and he had the same reason as Trader Glenn Miller did for taking money from the order. He had to rob banks because all you worthless bastards aren't going ahead and tithing and sending me enough money and all this sort of thing. And I'm going to go ahead and add to Wickham's show. Now, I have the segments for last Thursday's show Remember when we were talking about Dan Johns and how Brian Real was a great teacher and a great scholar and all this good, you know, stupid horseshit?
Well, I never heard that, but whatever he said, I mean, I personally never heard that, but that's a side point.
Well, you know, about how he is a, you know, about how he's a watchman or a teacher or something like that.
Well, I never heard any of that stuff, but that's
okay. Well, it's going to be in.
I would have made a very sharp comment because Brian Rio is a whore, as far as I'm concerned. He's not even less than a piece of trash.
Okay, but he's not white, is he?
No, he's a Dominican from Dominican Republic or some other place. I don't know what this deal is. He is not one of us. He's not part of the House of Israel. I mean, you can look in someone like Wishkin definitely is House of Israel. Newman Britton was and everyone else. You can look in people tell. Ryan is not. I don't know what he is, but he's not.
Well, according to Dan Johns, he's more white than I am. I'm a lunatic, and you know he's more white than I am. And, you know, look, Dan Johns, you lying idiot. I mean, I have a picture of myself, and I have blue eyes. You know, I'm a white man. Wishkin's a white man. You know, Dan Johns, I don't think Dan Johns is a white man at all. I think he's a mamzer of some sort. But, in any case, what you have is you have all these critters going around for the equivalent of a religious night's lodging. And what they go ahead and do is, I go ahead and have you come back in about 5 minutes here while I go ahead and log on to the show?
Sure.
Okay? Why don't you call back in 10 minutes, okay?
No problem.
All right, bye-bye.
Guest number two, Past Dan, he claims Brian Rio is non-white. Well, I'll tell you what, if Brian is non-white, he sure is doing one hell of a job of teaching Yahweh's message and awakening white people to the plight of what's going on in this country. So my hat's off to Brian. If Brian, you're non-white, my hat's off to you for doing a great job of waking up our people, okay? This clown that comes in and claims you're non-white, I've seen pictures of him, and if I've ever seen anybody that looked non-white and completely mentally deranged, it was that clown. But here again, folks, you got to make up your own mind. You're not going to necessarily believe me or anybody else. I'm just going to tell you what I know. I've known Brian a lot of years. I've talked to him a lot. I've never talked to a more sincere person in my life. And I've watched what he's done when he used to be a guest, and now he's been on the radio himself with his own program. And again, he teaches this message, and he's trying to awaken our people. So you tell me. What are the signs? Yahweh said a good tree bears good fruit, and a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and vice versa, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And these trolls that come in here have no good fruit, none whatsoever. And I've known Brian, I've known Pastor Eli, I've known Bill Fink for a while. I have never seen any of their fruit be other than good.
to hell.
Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and a little bit later discuss Alex Linder's growing erratic behavior with Kevin Harpham, Kevin Harpham slash Joe Snuffy, who I believe would not be in jail if he had never gotten on VNNF on Linder's little tard corral. I believe he would never have been pretty well the red meat that they would have gone ahead and drawn. But Covington, in his podcast, his last podcast, was pretty well talking. The first stuff to talk about was what to do if Zog goes ahead and comes asking you questions. And, folks, the best thing to do altogether is to simply don't tell them anything. Treat them like they are the enemy because they are the enemy. They're not on your side. They're on the side of Zog Babylon. They are the enforcement arm for Zog. And they are out to destroy your family. They are out to destroy you as best they can. And in any case, they will do their best to go ahead and destroy you. So there's nothing to be gained whatsoever by even remotely talking to them. When they were going ahead and arresting, supposedly they stole the grandkids. And then this evil pig, his name, I forget, he was a crook, he had a crooked arm, he had a crooked, withered arm, and he was an evil critter here. What the, Brandon Bashirs, was that his name? Anyway, evil pig, and he said that this piece of shit pig named Henry Stout and Ron Durge wanted to talk to me. I said, what about? Oh, about them being arrested, the allegations against you. I said, I have nothing to say to you unless you come to my house and I get to videotape it. I'm not coming to your little pig den unless you essentially, have a subpoena or a warrant. And they refused to go ahead and do that. They refused to let me videotape it. Later on, they said, well, he must have been guilty. He refused to take a polygraph test. He refused to do anything. Folks, I have a simple rule for policemen. See, they sort of think that they can go ahead and arrest us and do whatever the hell they want to and steal our family and steal our children. I, and you're seeing the same thing with Hadding and this Joe, this Don Polly and the rest of them who support the pigs and like the pigs here. I believe that I can get a pig to tell me anything I want him to tell me. And I don't have a bit of problem by how I get the information. Now, whether it's true or not doesn't really matter. To me, there's no such thing as innocent or guilty. There's only sides. If you're on the side of Zog, and you're on the side of Satan, and you're on the side of essentially those who have gone ahead and destroyed my family, why, you're a traitor, or a mamzer, or you're whatever that needs to be exterminated. Essentially, I don't really care whether you're a nice guy. You might be a real nice guy. Now, Covington says that these people are altogether evil, and I believe them. I believe them, but my problem, the reason, the whole purpose of this show is to say that you are a Whigger that supports Zog. You need to die. You need to die because, essentially, you want to die. You want to go ahead and support Satan, so I don't have any patience with anybody who does go ahead and support Satan. I believe that the solution to every problem is essentially, anytime there's a question, what you do is you kill a couple more Whiggers, however many you need to go ahead and exterminate, until essentially it's either Yahweh's way or the maggot superhighway. There's essentially nothing but two sides. It's black and white. And there's no room for any compromise. I mean, are you going to go ahead and compromise with what degree of mamzerhood you allow into the congregation? The books of Nehemiah and Ezra had to deal with all these critters getting in. And I'm hoping that's Russ here. Hello.
Hey.
Hey. Anyway, I'm glad you go ahead and call back. Anyway, I'll talk about what we're going to go ahead and discuss, the Kevin Harpham and essentially how Zog's pigs are running around Northwest looking for a case to bring up against Mr. Harpham. You're supposed to have a trial this week here around Martin, you know, Nigger Luther Coon memorial unveiling, but that got postponed as a result of the flood and the, you know, and the earthquake. And essentially, they're having it today, supposedly after September 11th. And I sort of think that if the pigs are not successful in finding their little own John Doe number two, they're essentially they're going to go ahead and post it just like they did with Edgar Steele. That's my, you know, that's my belief. But in any case, I will be willing to bet that Alex Linder has not deleted Joe Snuffy or Kevin Harpham's IP number. I bet he's not deleted his email number, address, even though Zog knows about it. I believe that Alex Linder is setting himself up for another little betrayal like he did with Bill White in back on December 15th, 2009.
Martin, again, I don't know anything about these people, so I can't comment in any way. I've never heard their names, as a matter of fact. That's another point.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, yes, I do know. That's why we were talking about James Wickstrom, and essentially, he used to be a fiery member. He used to be very much a white patriot. He was very much a white patriot, and then he got to where he got arrogant. He believed he could do whatever he wanted to do, and he could.
I perceive the fall. I understand how it works.
Yeah. And you've got to go ahead and watch out for flatterers. You got to watch out for people who go ahead and turn your head away from Yahweh. Solomon, he had 700 heifers and wives and 300 concubines, and essentially they turned his head away from Yahweh. Remember. And you can have the same thing with flattery, which will go ahead and turn your head if you allow it to do so.
Sure.
And in any case, well, in the chat, someone's going ahead and talking about how the Jews media covers up stuff and all that sort of thing. Right now on MSNBC, the Obongo channel, they're talking about what 9/11 did to wonderful Zog. And folks, essentially Zog used to go ahead and essentially spy and snoop and sneak and burglarize and do whatever the hell he wanted to do back in the 1950s, back in the 1960s, back, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And essentially all this Patriot Act did was essentially legalize the same stupid shit that the pigs have always been doing, correct?
What did what now?
Well, the Patriot Act, all it did was legalize what the pigs have always been doing.
And look, Martin, I think the guys that signed off that Patriot Act are going to be prosecuted for an eternity of time. They're absolute traitorous whores, every one of them. No excuse.
Well, yeah.
They give it all these fancy names, patriot. There's always more governmental power.
It's all more government power. Now, I believe that essentially, last week, old Dick Cheney was pretty well gloating about how it didn't matter how many illegal things him and Bush did. Why, he meant well, and essentially, old Dick meant to go ahead and essentially do well, you know, as a result of Halliburton and all these no-bid contracts to where, oh, a gallon of gas sent to the Mideast costs, what, $400 a gallon? Once you go ahead and have all the criminals and the rest, I mean, essentially this war has been nothing more than a looting expedition, but the biggest looting has not been, in, you know, against the people of Iraq, but it's been against the, you know, people of America. by having all the all these defense contracts that they nobody can go ahead and see.
The society's collapsing. There are many things attacking the society on many fronts. I suspect one of these days it's going to be a massive collapse. As an example, I live in eastern North Carolina. The fire ants this year are outrageous. They're killing us. And I get bit every day. I'm constantly...
Oh, they're bad, ain't they?
Nasty, man. I got 60, 70 bites the other day. My whole ankle swollen up. But you have environmental rules, regulations, which are designed to deindustrialize society. We have immigration, which is going to kill the society. We have wars, which are killing the society. We have outrageous spending, which is economically going to destroy the society. We have a mixed-race mongrel hybrid nigger, tyke nigger, the worst of everything possible. As a so-called president who's determined to destroy the society. And the society can only go on so long. The kids have got no future. Whether they realize it or not, they simply have got no future.
Well, what they're doing is they're making them take education, you know, they're having them go to college, and essentially it's costing 10 times what it did back when I went to school, and probably, you know, probably 30 times what you went to, you know, school.
They
don't learn anything, and essentially what they have a bunch of debt that they can't get out of. The student loans have been set to where you cannot get rid of them by bankruptcy like you can a car loan or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're not bankrupt out.
No, you can't bankrupt out at all. And, I mean, that's been decided. That's been long decided to go ahead and do that.
Like some of these kids are moving to Canada or other countries where the debts can't be attached. I mean, I don't believe you can take a U.S. debt and bring it to Canada and foreclose on it. I could be wrong, but I suspect that's what's going on. That's one of the ways of getting out from these debts.
Well, I think that what's going to end up happening is the old way of getting off these debts. You simply skin alive the bankster. You know what I mean? I remember reading in the tales of the fall of the Roman Empire, to where essentially the peasants would let these Germanic tribes come in to either Rome or Italy or France or whatever. They welcomed the barbarians because, well, pretty well the barbarians didn't insist that they had to work without pay, or that they had to go ahead and pay these high taxes. The barbarians didn't have taxes or the concept of taxes. And essentially, they welcomed the barbarians in because the barbarians were less rapacious than their own, quote, Roman or their own kind as tax collectors.
That's interesting. I never knew that, but that's an interesting comment you make.
Well, I went ahead and read about how things were at the very end of the Roman Empire. I mean, you had Alaric, who was let into the gates of Rome in 410. Somebody went ahead and opened the gates to, you know, opened the bar to the gates of Rome and let the Alaric's Visigoths come in. And folks, people welcomed these, they weren't too crazy about the Vandals, but from what I gather, they actually let barbarians from outside, the barbarians inside the gate, let in the barbarians outside the gate to go ahead and plunder what little remained of, you know, Rome's civil society. And supposedly, you had a Dark Ages of about approximately 1,000 years, although you had high spots where it looked like they would, you know, like under Charlemagne, where it looked like they would, you know, under a strong man, where it looked like they would go ahead and recover. And then you would have dark, dark, dark ages, like the 1349, 1350, 1351, when you had the black, the Black Death.
Right.
Which went ahead and, you know, pretty well killed one-third to two-thirds of the population. And then you had, after all these people who could not, I mean, yes, they were sort of like Wiggers. They could not, you know, they essentially had overpopulated the land, just like, you know, Wiggers would do if you'd let them. And what they did is that once they were dead, you ended up having, about 50 years later, you had the start of the Renaissance, where things were starting to go ahead and go about, and then you had the Pivotal Age of 1492. But you had, between 476 and the late 1400s, essentially the 1,000 years of the Dark Ages. And it's the most famous Dark Ages, but I've been remarking that you had a Greek Dark Age from, 1200 B.C.? Ramses II died in 1212, and things were begin to go ahead and fall down even at Egypt's zenith. And then you had 400 years from, the time of Achilles and Agamemnon and Hector and Troy and the Mycenaean civilization. You had a 400-year Dark Age.
I spent in 5th century Athens a long time ago. I can't remember 1/7 of what you remember.
Okay, well, they had...
I remember Pericles' oration speech in 404 B.C., but that's about it.
Well, yes, but Pericles went ahead and got into a war with Sparta, and he went ahead and went behind the long walls, the fortified walls, to where the Spartans couldn't get in, but then you had everybody pressed in, and as a result, they all got died of a plague, including Pericles. And at the very end, why you had Athens, which was ruled by these little students of Socrates.
Well, socialism, sure.
You had these little rulers called the 30, and you had his Socrates' best pupil was called Alcibiades, and Alcibiades was a traitor. He just looked after himself, huh?
Alcibiades, I forget that
you're Alcibiades. Right. And essentially, he betrayed Athens twice. He went to Sparta. He was there for a while. He screwed the Spartan king's wife and fathered a little bastard. Then he ran off to Persia, and essentially, he was probably thinking of betraying the Persian king, Xerxes, when eventually people got tired of his shit and killed his ass. But you had, in addition to Alcibiades here, you had these people like Critias and the 30, who set up
Lives. There's a book called Plutarch's Lives.
Plutarch's Lives, and they all said, Alcibiades was a known traitor. A known traitor.
I tell you what, I'm getting tired right now.
Okay. So anyway,
as far as Wickstrom is concerned, the truth will come out. I've raised some questions about Judah, which neither he nor anyone else wants to answer, and he can hate me all he wants to. The truth is coming out, right or wrong, good or bad.
Well, I think Wickstrom essentially is becoming fairly old. He's getting pretty tired. I don't know how many people attend his chat. He has it up when Dan Johns is there, and I usually troll Dan Johns. Occasionally you show up there. I had Dan Johns just, I'm going to block all the guests here, because I was just trolling the heck out of him and having him admit that Mayans were beardless Israelites and Brian Reel is a great Christian identity teacher and all this other stupid shit. And essentially he's gone ahead and so you're going to go ahead and continue to troll Wickstrom and let's see. Well, you'll continue to go ahead and be there. So tomorrow night, are you gonna be on Finkelschini's or Elias?
I haven't listened to Fink in months. I don't really care what he says. To hear him speak, it so turns me off. His harsh speech is just that's what turns me off about Bob Jones.
Yeah.
When you get someone harsh speech like that, you know Yahweh hasn't come to them.
Okay. He's only he doesn't like them damn Yankees, huh, does he, Russ?
I don't think so.
Anyway, I'll let you go, Russ.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll probably be trolling both Finkelschini's and Elias. I try to go ahead and get there real quick before Matt Twat Zogbot or Mrs. Matt Twat Zogbot gets on, and essentially I go ahead and just usually put the Andrew Renard blog to where Fink, it was about the story about how Fink, as a Jersey City Jew boy pig, went ahead and murdered this Puerto Rican in the Jersey City jail. But last Sunday, I got on before Brian Rio got on and said, how's Nigger Lips doing? And but what is Nigger Lips? And the things that I do like going ahead and trolling, but I do drive them people sort of nuts here, in case you haven't seen, because they can't answer my heckles most of the time, can they?
That's the reason they go to beauty. That's why people may dislike you, but you let people make any comment they have, because you take on the comments. It's that simple.
Well, the only rule I have is you can't go ahead and keep hitting the stupid, you can't be hitting the dang enter key and spamming. You know, I don't really like spamming because essentially there's nothing intelligent there. Occasionally I'll have a little troll who goes ahead and calls me Pope Marty Chomo and all this sort of stupid shit. And, you know, I pretty well ignore that stupid crap here. But old Bob Jones was all pissy about you talking to, or Wisher was all pissy about you talking about Bob Jones, and Obagender Bender had to comment on it.
That's too damn bad.
Oh, well, too bad. So sad. Well, I'll talk to you later, Ross. Hail victory.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, that was interesting, I think. I always like having Russ on there. Russ is not really a yes man. Russ is not a real yes man. I mean, he's too polite sometimes to tell me I'm full of shit, according to his life. But he's not a yes man. And that's what Eli needs. He needs a little skilt-licking tard like Greggy Howard. And Wickstrom, he needs one like Bob Jones. And essentially the Sword Mamzer and Finkelschini Show, why, hey, it's sort of hard to figure out which one, you know, is catching and which one is, pitching and which one's receiving, between the two of them here. You know what I mean? Well, he might very well have folks, I'm not asking you to like Lucifer's interview. I mean, you'll either like it or you won't, okay? So, that's stupid here. Anyway, you have no idea how Russ can carry on. Well, he can. So, I'm going to go ahead. I'll go ahead and do a few housekeeping chores, and we'll get on to the next section. Hail victory.
Axis Sally and I were in a little bar in Centralia a while back, and it had live entertainment. Anyway, they had some Eastern European immigrant type up on the stage doing a kind of a country music act, believe it or not. Anyway, this is what Sally recorded on her phone.
Okay, folks, we're back for the third or fourth segment of the Movement Third. Guest number six said, Martin, what are you doing to establish a mechanism for information to flow and mutual recognition to build? The answer is I'm not doing a single thing to go ahead and build any infrastructure, be it a political party, be it a Northwest imperative, be it anything. Folks, it is up to you living in your area. This show, The Movement Turd, is an attempt. It started out in February of 2010 to pretty well warn people off from Visser, because I thought Visser was a Mamzer. I was very sure that Visser was a Mamzer. He gave me the impression that I knew Visser was a thief, I knew Visser was a liar, I knew Visser was a criminal. And essentially he was bringing in all these Mamzers and the rest of these critters into Christian Identity. And folks, I have not really built anything. Doesn't make sense. You know, I used to talk to Libertoons, and I got a Libertoon paper today. Every so often, the Missouri Libertoon Party tries to go ahead and have me not dick with them, even though I am suing them over not allowing me to run for United States Senator because I'm a racist. See, these wonderful Libertoons, they believe in freedom, except if you do something they don't want you to do. They voted at the rate of 28-1 to kick me out of the Missouri Libertarian Party, even though that was not exactly legal, and even though it didn't really mean anything. But I ended up having to spend about $400 or $500 going up to Columbia to defend myself against a trespassing charge, because they held it in this restaurant, the old Heidelberg, where they had a member of theirs who was the manager run it, and he claimed that I was to be kicked out because I insisted on videotaping these worthless bastards having a vote to kick me out of the Missouri Libertarian Party. And I said, look, you worthless bastards, what the hell are you bitching about a majority voting that you can't follow the NAMBLA, the normal, or, I used to tell them is that they were for abortion. They had the ass doctrine of abortion, sodomy, and smoking dope. Essentially, you're bitching that the overall majority cannot go ahead and vote against your likes, be it sex with underage girls or boys, be it smoking a bale full of dope, be it with having abortion whenever the hell you felt like it. And what is your notion? Well, you gather around once a month with your little executive committee and you make up a whole bunch of more rules so to make sure that the Libertoon Party in Missouri will never grow beyond your ability to control it. They like to shit their pants back in 1994 when this character named Bill Johnson, who had some... Well, he went later on, became a Republican Party operative. He moved back to Alabama. He ran for governor last year. He's somewhat known as somewhat sleazy character. I was talking to his friend. I said, it looks like Bill Johnson has gone boob dolt on us. And there was some who called him a CIA operative. And I told this character I ran against, he was a faggot named J. Mark Oglesby. Well, he's a CIA plant. And I said, well, what difference does that make? I mean, shoot, maybe the CIA ought to be doing thinking for you idiots here. I mean, you people aren't able to think for yourselves, it seems. But, essentially, I had a bunch of libertarians who were all mad at me for not voting against this proposition to recognize gay marriage. I said, well, look, folks, if you're ready for freedom and liberty, get the government out of the marriage license business. There's no way in hell I'm going to recognize two faggots screwing together any more than I recognize a rooster and hen screwing or nigger screwing as being married. To me, it's just copulation. I don't care, it may be important to them. It may be precious to them, but it ain't precious to me. I don't recognize it as marriage. That's the same thing I say with Maui Patricia. I don't really care if some mamzerus goes ahead and gets her a whole bunch of, pecker at the age of 50. I'm sort of laughing at the chat, because essentially she was saying that according to what Eli James said, they were married because she had sex with him. And one was an Aryan with blonde hair and green eyes, but he was no good in bed, so she got her a second husband, you know, some short time later, within the day, I guess, maybe 15, 20 minutes later. And, folks, I don't really care. I mean, Eli James went ahead and blocked her. I was laughing my head. I was trolling McFaggot, Eli James. Here's Mary Patricia coming up with all this sort of stuff. It's on my webpage. You can look at the chat, or you can go to Talk Shoot Chat Fetcher and fetch it, and it's hilarious. Okay? All right? Any case. So, it doesn't really matter. I don't ask who number 11 is, or, you know, guest 6, or whatever here. It doesn't really matter to me. But, oh heck, where was I? Yes, these libertarians. They went ahead and ruled that, guess what, you had to be a member for 30 days in order to go ahead and vote at a convention. They were scared that I would bring so many racists into the Missouri Libertarian Party that I would take away their little play toy. And then they went ahead and ruled that proxies were no longer to be able to be used. And I said, well, shoot, most people have something better to do if they trust me to go ahead and vote for them. That's representative government here. That's what you claim to, you know, want here. And no, they went ahead and voted against these, even though these people were essentially voting who had bought a membership that day. They voted that if you weren't a member for over 30 days, you could no longer vote. But here they were. They bought a membership that day, and they voted against other people, I guess, who had just bought a membership from getting the vote. And I'd gone ahead and bought a number of people in the Missouri Libertarian Party, and that was pretty well aimed at me. So you've always had these libertoons claiming to be defenders of liberty. But when it comes down to it, they hate liberty. They hate freedom. The latest crap is that I cannot run because I'm a racist. And they seem to believe that you can go ahead and, oh, I'm a collectivist because I'm a racist. And Edgar Steele was saying this sort of stupid shit, too. I'm a collectivist because I'm a racist here. I believe in racial collectivism. Well, no, I don't. I don't have much use to say about Wiggers. But, folks, look, you libertarians, I have a question. When Zog falls apart and the niggers are going ahead and having you stupid wiggers for breakfast, lunch, dinner, as long as your wigger flesh has not all been consumed by niggers and their nigglets, when there's no more Zog Babylon, what's going to go ahead and prevent racist swine like me from setting up a government to where we don't allow niggers to live among us, or we don't allow Jews to live among us? Folks, that's why I like this Great Tribulation. Essentially, the government is going to go ahead and collapse. And that, I mean, folks, I used to be, when I was in the Libertarian Party, you had these schemes about buying a, you know, big old boat here and floating it out beyond the 300 or 200 mile limit onto the open seas, and we would have Minerva, or we would have this, or we would have that. Libertoon, free enterprise, all living together. Well, folks, let me just tell you is that a lot of libertoons are Jews. Libertoons love Jews. They love Murray Rothbard. They love all these here little Jews. And, folks, you have, you know, critters like Ayn Rand. Essentially, this was big, you know, in her personal life. Was simply just an ugly tachyus who acted like a total despot. And you had these little Jews, these little goyims, Shabbos wiggers, and the rest sucking up to her. She went ahead and she found a little Jew boy named Nathaniel Braden here and his wife. And essentially, she got the Jew boy to screw this old cow. And he did, and he praised her up. Meanwhile, she had a wigger husband named Frank O'Connor, a hybrid nigger or something like that. And, hey, they were just having a fine open marriage and all this, but they fought and they fought and they fought and they fought. Ayn Rand did not live according to her, quote, objectivist principles. Essentially, she is the head tychist in charge. The same with libertines. They do not believe in freedom. They don't believe in anything other than getting to do whatever the hell they want to. And, folks, building something the Tsar can go ahead and take away. Harold Covington has made fun of everybody who decides, well, I'm just going to go ahead and slip out of Zog here. I'm just going to go ahead and move out to a cabin in North Woods. Well, how did that work out for Randy Weaver? I mean, the previous one, pretty well Harold Covington makes the point, is that ordinary white people are not allowed to just participate from Zog. If you're by yourself and you're not part of their little collective, why, obviously, you must be a racist hater. Didn't work out too well for Randy Weaver. But let's say you are, oh, a community, and you have niggers and brown people and beaners and the rest here, and you're a religious community, and you move out here and you practice, oh, sex with each other here. Essentially, you know, you have some religious reason for it. Well, folks, how does that work out? And the answer, didn't, you know, ask David Koresh how it worked out. David Koresh was, from my gather, he was a race mixer. Now, I don't know, I don't believe everything Zog says, but shit, he had niggers in his congregation. He had brown people in his congregation. He had a lot of stupid Texas wiggers in his congregation, hippies and the rest here. How did that work out for David Koresh? And the answer is it didn't. And that is part of my, you know, a little bit of objection. Harold Covington's tried to build something. I'm not. I believe that the only thing that I'm trying to build is essentially anybody who hears my voice, I'm telling them to stay away from the bowel movement. Stay away from Linder. Stay away from Sperm Front. Stay away from all these here little Wikipedia Christian identity, Mamzers and Jews, pretend to be pastors, and all these stupid Wiggers and Mamzers and Jews and all sorts of critters seeking what, to paraphrase Whitaker Chambers, a religious night's one night's lodging for religious or intellectuals or whatever here. Hell, you know, I'm thinking what Whitaker Chambers said, a intellectual night's lodging. Well, I'm urging people, don't seek a religious night's lodging. If you're a white man, essentially the law of Yahweh is already written on your heart, and I'm urging you to understand the simple things about Christian identity. And the simple things of Christian identity can be learned by taking what's written on your heart. You know, the word of Yahweh, the law of Yahweh is already written on your heart, and going ahead and reading a little bit about Bertrand Comparé. And folks, you don't need to be a great biblical scholar. You certainly don't need to have biblical language as taught by that great teacher, Brian Rio from Mentor, Ohio. Reading from Wikipedia to another Jew about the wonderfulness of Hitler, who was an archangel, who was the Archangel Michael or what have you. You don't need that sort of stupid shit. Okay? Well, folks, when things fall apart, everybody's going to have a hard time. Your job should be to quietly look to yourself, then take care of your family. The first thing you should do is take care of yourself. Get close with Yahweh, take care of yourself, and folks, if you do form a militia, Be like these people in England who have been disarmed and who've seen that the pigs would not do a damn thing about all these niggers rioting. Well, what they did is they formed a mutual little understanding with members of their own family, with their neighbors, to essentially, if you have these people coming in, you will drive these creatures out. You know, like this Enfield militia I was seeing about, a couple of weeks ago. Folks, don't worry about the political stuff, the political realm. is altogether corrupt, is evil. The Tea Party isn't going to save America. Essentially, they're bought off. They are bought off. Obongo, he went ahead and he legalized all these beaners. He legalized them. Don't have a bit of problem with them being in this country. We're not going to deport them unless they're really, 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 really guilty of some bad stuff that makes us look bad not to kick them out. They've already caught 300,000 of them. Essentially, they've gone ahead and just thrown a monkey wrench in deporting them. They aren't supposed to be here, but he's not going to go ahead and send them out. Eric Holder, he's not going to go against these nigger flash mobs. So what do you do? And the answer is that you go ahead and you go ahead and rebuild the roots, starting with yourself. Make sure you're right with Yahweh and looking after your family. I mean, the ones that you should have and keep. And then, and only then, do you have room for your extended community. Now, I need to go ahead and do a hour of Great Tribulation. And just like Jesus Christ said, well, who's my brother and my sister? And they were saying, your brothers and your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside the door. And Jesus Christ said, well, who's my brother? Those who go ahead and believe my word. Those of you who are Christians are my brethren and my sisters. And folks, the congregation is simply an extended family of Christian Israelites. Someone who would not even remotely think of letting in a nigger like Brian Rio, or a manser like Visser and Brian Wright, or a Jew like Eli James or Bill Fink. Wouldn't even think of doing such a thing. And more to the point, since they're not allowed in, why in the world would you let Brian Rio or Eli James or Bill Fink or any of these people know you exist? Folks, you're not. You should not be a Whigger or a Mamzer running to and fro, back and forth, looking for a Knight's religious / intellectual lodging. Essentially, you should have a home with Yahweh. You should know who you are. And you should know what you stand for. You should know what your God wants and expects of you. And then and only then are you able to go ahead. Once you are able to take care of themselves, then and only then are you in a position to lead others. Now, with my 10,000 Warlords project, you're going to have a bunch of white people who, like me, have understood that it's not a matter of politics anymore. It's not a matter of doing this or doing that and think we're all going to work together under Nimrod, under Cain, under my rule. But rather understanding that essentially some people do not belong. Non-whites do not belong, certainly not Jews, and least of all, Whigger traitors. And folks, it's going to be the Great Tribulation. Rather than a Northwest, moving all, to one place here for mutual support, and then going ahead and finding out these people who moved up here were people like Mafag, who essentially are worthless bastards. No, folks, you rely on Yahweh. And then you go ahead and rely on yourself, and then you go ahead and rely on these white people like you, who believe the same thing you do, who are Christians, who are Christian identity or Christian Israelites. And then from that, when essentially things fall apart, when things, when this crescendo goes ahead because you are prepared, or prepared as you can possibly be, then and only then, can you go ahead and go after others. But essentially, I want people to understand the Christian identity message is one of essentially not trying to, like I myself did back in the mid-90s, trying to form a militia to go ahead and scare Zog into changing. Well, Zog is not going to be scared into changing. Zog is evil. Zog, even if he's scared, can't go ahead and become good. But rather, to go ahead and allow this collapse, to go ahead and destroy the elements of command, control, by Shabbos Uyghurs and Jews over Uyghurs, bringing in the animals that are going to go ahead and destroy them. You see, these people have worked for a long time to destroy the white race, the Yahweh servant nation. And they have done it with the help of Uyghurs. Of Uyghurs who want to go ahead and get along, who don't want to be viewed as rude or crude, but rather they've gone ahead and allowed this thing to happen to them. But every Uyghur will go ahead and toss another Uyghur into the fire in order to go ahead and save himself for a little while. See, if Uyghurs were passenger pigeons, or if Uyghurs were buffalo, you would have these Uyghur passenger pigeons collaborating with the market hunters against the other passenger pigeons. You would have, if you would have these Uyghur buffalo collaborating with buffalo hunters, saying, shoot me last, and I will go ahead and tell the rest of the herd that don't pay attention to that guy there with the sharps. Going ahead, and he's just gone ahead and shot 100 out of 150 of us. Don't run. Don't run out of range of the man with the gun. All is well. And then the Uyghur buffalo acts so surprised when the buffalo hunter, there's nobody else left to betray, and he goes ahead and shoots the Uyghur buffalo. That's what Uyghurs are like. There's nothing really good about Uyghurs. So folks, what I'm looking for is this great tribulation to go ahead and have all the Uyghurs die. Have all the Uyghurs die based upon the Jew lies that they chose to believe, who they were willfully blind. And Dan Jaws, he's gone beyond being willfully blind. He's gone to being, actually overtly evil. Anyway, I need to go ahead and put that, thing up. But folks, you have Uyghur buffalo and Uyghur passenger pigeons. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm not quite sure what guest number 6 is trying to say here. Anyway, how's the 10,000 Warlords project coming along? Well, it's not coming along as much as I want to. But in any case, I'm not quite, I'm sort of looking at the chat, and there's a bunch of irrelevancies in it. But anyway, I'll go ahead and see how much, I have 23 minutes in there. Here, hold on. Let me go ahead. I have a question about Molly Patricia. I'll go ahead and read this aloud here. Let me go ahead and take a quick pause. Let me repeat that. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and I'll cover this Molly Patricia and her two husbands thing in camera. And that means I'll go ahead and cover it. But what I really want to do in the next section is cover Alex Linder and how and why I think that he's going to be giving the IP numbers and information to the feds like he did with Bitch Tits Bill White December 15, 2009. I think he's going to be doing the same thing to Kevin Harpham here when Kevin Harpham finally goes to trial. So folks, let me go ahead and get everything in order, and I'll be back in a few. Hail Victory. There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to sit. But he threatened judges 3 and 2, he slapped old Hal CP. So Hal's gonna be my dick, Uyghur bitch. Fuck you up.
Yes, I'll go fuck you up if you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands. Son, fuck you up. Yes, I'll go fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bug. A little Guido loves digging fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksuck. The colostomy bag's name is VMM. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up if you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Mississippi little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mum, that nigga with East Molester, a pisser, pusser, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up if you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebelling while you can.
I mean, I wish, you know, we were discussing. Frank and Wigger was saying that I struck out because I didn't go ahead and relay the conversation of what was said on TalkShoe on the 31st of July, a month ago, on Eli James's show, to where essentially Maui Pat came on, and she hasn't been on since, and she was talking about her little trip to Vegas to where she went ahead and married a number of men. She got a contract and she had sex with them, therefore she was married, and the one who was very cute, who had blonde hair and green eyes, he wasn't very good in bed, so she got divorced from him, a bill of divorcement from him. And he got something from her here that probably cost him less than a trip to the Mustang Ranch here. Shoot, folks. I mean, when I was, 23, 24, 25, and going to, the wall in Germany, I mean, shoot, rather than even pay 40 marks or $17.50 or $20 U.S., yeah, I preferred the 40 marks, you know, because it was cheaper here, but, I mean, shoot, if I could go ahead and simply got a marriage license and then a bill of divorcement for about, 15, 20 minutes work here, I'd go ahead and give them horse a bill of divorcement in a heartbeat here. Of course, then I was somewhat ungodly and my dick was also ungodly. Never screwed no coons here, but I screwed a lot of fat German women. Yeah, you know, it's just a few somewhat thinner ones. But you tend to avoid the real cute ones here because you sort of assume they're going to go ahead and everybody else want to go ahead and screw them. You sort of want to screw the sort of plain ones here. They have a little bit of fat on them here. I mean, that's just, at least that's just pretty well my operating procedure. Now, if I could have gone ahead and got a Maui, Maui Patricia divorce and divorce and rematch for 15 minutes fun, for a five or two here, well, hey. That would have been cheaper than the $17.50 / 40 marks deal here, much less the $20 U.S. So, in any case, I mean, Frank Wigger, I don't think I'm owned. I do think that I've pretty well won the argument. Okay. Alrighty. Number 11 is bitching about his password, and I'll go ahead and make up a new one and send it to him, and he can go ahead and change it, and just write it down here. You know what I mean? Just write it down. Don't give it to any nimbusters. Just write it down, okay? Oh, well, I have no idea about the image verification system. Okay? Alrighty. So, I'm not going to go ahead and close my forum and restart my blog spot. I'm going to keep the forum up. And what I'm going to do is I'm not going to mess with Blogspot. Today I was looking for something here, and I think I've seen my PastorWinston.org forum. So probably I'm going to go ahead and open up Pastor Winston. But for my big files, I'm going to go ahead and put them on Mamsers.org. Nothing that Brian Rio can see and nothing that Brian Rio can remove. He might be able to go ahead and download the stuff here, but it's not going to be anything he can even remotely copyright. And essentially, that's why I'm going to go ahead and put, you know, put the latest movement turds and the rest of it on there. From what I gather, started the end of the month, and I got about 50% more visitors in August. I mean, it's up to, 320-some unique visitors a day. And, that's up from, 110, 150, something like that here. So, pretty well my traffic is rebuilding back up again. Now, most of the time, who are people going on my forum here? So, I'm going to go ahead and get to PastorWinston.org and the blog, PastorWinston.org/blog up. And, folks, I'm not going to go ahead and do any more Blogspot, because all it takes is some whiny little piece of shit to go ahead and take it down. Somebody on Spermfront was telling these other tards how to go ahead and take down a Blogspot just by simply whining like a pussy that you're offended. So a bunch of fat people went ahead and took down his Blogspot because he was talking about how fat people are unhealthy. So some whiners went ahead and took down his Blogspot, blog. So he wanted all these Stormfront people to go ahead and take down these, fat people like Blogspot too here. So folks, I'm not going to get back on Blogspot, okay? All right. He betrayed, folks, Linda will betray about everybody here. You know what I mean? So, alright, well, Frank, I was reading the thing here. I mean, you can go ahead and say I was misreading it, but, essentially, Mary Patricia ended up saying is that, hey, she had two husbands. You know what I mean? And you would think McFag would go ahead and be sort of cheering her. And I'm hoping that old Mary Patricia will hear Mary McFag and essentially make McFag get off his lazy ass, because his squaw wife won't make him work. His present squaw wife won't make him work. Go ahead and beat McFag's ass with a pallet flat with a rusty nail in it. Or that she'll marry the Jersey City Ashkenazi Jew boy, Bill Fink. And as a psychiatric med nurse, she will dope the crap out of that Jew boy. And make him a Hessian Jew boy without aggression here from Ryan Palantine or whatever here. I think old Maui Pat could go ahead and make, Jew boys, make Jew boys very, very, very miserable. She was rather amiable to the blonde guy. I mean, the only thing she had against him was that he was cute. And I guess he's pretty good, an ornament on her, at her elbow here, escorting her around, but he just wasn't very good in bed here. And from what I gather, she's already divorced, unless she's still in, she's probably divorced because she said this guy was going to give him a divorce here when he left Vegas in 4 days. So, let me see. Okay, by August 4th here, she ended up getting divorced from the second guy here, so She's a much married woman here and a much divorced woman. She's just going ahead and stacking up them marriage certificates and them bills of divorcement, stacking them up like toilet paper, I guess. If she writes on fluffy stuff here, she'll have plenty of room to wipe here when she, leaves from Maui, back to Boston here. You know what I mean? Okay. Well, it can get pretty lame here, but you'll be around guest number 6, okay? Well, that's good. That's good. Well, I'm glad they're getting a weekly show here. I mean, Jet and John, they almost, John doesn't much care for Chris Sandanti, which doesn't bother me. I mean, shoot, he revealed he was part red nigger, and, you know, people called him Chief Running Tard and ran him off of VNNF. And he's been mad at that, been mad at the fora, and I'm not really, you know, too much worried about it. Okay. Let's go ahead. Okay. Yeah, a Jewish plot, synagogue is okay. Okay. Well, there. Okay, it says superb. I think you mean superb. Okay. Alrighty. Well, I mean, you know, Poopy Dog, you can go ahead and point out to Frank Wigger. I went ahead and read, even though I didn't record the conversation with, you know, that Maui Pat had. Eventually, old Maui Pat got blocked, and she got mad, and they said, "They blocked Maui Pat! How can they do that?" Hey, Maui, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat like goodbye. Hey, Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Get on rust and let come fly. Humping on the bank of the river. Stars are dead, love your twat. Humping you is what I live for. I just had a wigger thought. Hey, pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat like goodbye. Hey, pussy, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. We'll find a little CI chapel, a pair of Goose and Eli or two, underneath the rumpled cheese, like a pair of minks will screw. Hey, pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat, life goodbye. Hey, Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. Viva la Vegas, sparkling lights, humorous living, pubic life. I'm your dick in your hole now, honey, and you're my mamzer fox. You can diddle me without any money. No one but me gives a fuck. Hey, pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat, laugh goodbye. Hey, Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. Viva Las Vegas. Sparkling lights, humorous living, your pussy's not tight. I'm your dick in your hole now, honey, and you're my man's response. You can diddle me without any money. No one but me gives a fuck. Hey, pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat, laugh goodbye. Hey, Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on love and let's come fly. Hey, pussy, let's go to Vegas. Kiss a white cat, life goodbye. Hey, Nookie, let's go to Vegas. Bet on lust and let come fly. Bet on lust and let come fly. Bet on lust and let come fly. Okay, folks, I went ahead and made a little break here. If you're silent for about 30 seconds, you can go ahead and add stuff into it. I'm going to go ahead and now talk about Alex Linder, none other than the gut-sick weedle weasel with GWAS cancer. Now, he's been acting a little bit goofy. Well, more goofy than usual with his tarts. He let back Hatting the Meerkat. He let back this Don Polly, or as I call him, Polly the Zog Parrot. And essentially, they talk shit about how Edgar Steele is guilty or Edgar Steele is crazy or this or that. And, folks, from what I get, Edgar Steele is not guilty at all. Essentially, they wouldn't allow him to have his lawyers call a defense witness, two defense witnesses, who would say that the recordings were spurious. They went ahead and let the FBI do whatever he wanted to, and they had an Idaho jersey out of Boise, and the word Aryan Nations more than likely came up. So, oh my God. It's sort of like going ahead and talking about the Ku Klux Klan in Mississippi, not Mississippi, but in Massachusetts, okay? They're going to lynch our wonderful niggers here. He must be guilty here of killing this nigger because he's a Klansman in Massachusetts. We have a dead nigger with a rope around his neck. He must be guilty, guilty, guilty. And Edgar Steele did not get a fair trial. But, folks, I mean, I'm not going to be one of the ones who whine about that. I've always said how to take care of FBI misconduct. The solution to take care of FBI misconduct is to exterminate every single FBI agent with his entire family. Pretty well exterminate the lawyers, exterminate the judges, exterminate pretty well any policeman that you see because he supports Zog. And pretty well, it's not a matter of guilt or innocence. I told Jim Giles, you know, I mean, if Edgar Steele was seen carrying a bag full of heads, his wife's heads, his mother-in-law's heads, Morris D's heads, a whole bunch of Jew heads, and, you know, a whole bunch of nigger heads, and he got stopped by the Sagal County police force, well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if Edgar Steele's on my side, it's not a matter of whether he's guilty or not here. He's innocent. As far as I'm concerned, it's a trap. It's a setup. And I told Edgar Steele, or I told Jim Giles that. I mean, folks, to me, it's all a matter of what side you're on. And I never go ahead, and as long as these people are not traitors, I don't talk against them. Now, privately, I may go ahead and have a little bit, you know, thing, but folks, we suffer not from too much loyalty. We suffer from a surfeit, you know, we don't suffer from surfeit of it. We don't suffer from too much, we suffer from not any. Folks, Wiggers have no loyalty. I've already talked about that, about how Wiggers, for all practical purposes, if you had Wigger passenger pigeons or Wigger buffalo, they'd be betraying their fellow Wigger passenger pigeons or Wigger buffalo. Now, folks, if you're a passenger pigeon, pretty well your attitude toward market hunters should be loathing and hatred and a wish that all these, you know, market hunters would die, them and their entire families. Same way if you were a buffalo. That's the only sane, you know, that's the only sane belief here. And the same thing if you're a white man, dealing with Wiggers, dealing with Jews, dealing with Muds, dealing with Zog, which is determined to go ahead and destroy you and destroy Yahweh's servant nation. That's the only thing. I mean, the SS had, you know, had on their daggers, "My honor is my loyalty." Now, folks, Adolf Hitler would not have gone ahead and certainly not carried out, if he'd have won the war, any purges against the SS for shooting Jews. Why, folks, that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what you're supposed to be doing. He had the, I mean, if you were a Russian POW, essentially they didn't have the means to feed you, and they just pretty well starved them. Put them in a labor camp and starved them to death. They didn't view Slavs as being white, or being white like they were, being people. Now, is that somewhat of a short-sighted view? And it might very well have been. Folks, I'm not going to go ahead and refight, you know, how World War II should have been fought. Because, folks, I don't have to suffer the consequences of being wrong from them. Like Adolf Hitler said, is that my generals don't understand anything about economics or politics. But, folks, to me, it's a matter of loyalty and what side you're on. Not about whether or not you're supposedly guilty of something or another. Okay, it says I have a low battery. I better go ahead and plug the thing in, or the show's going to go end to end. Case of Alex Linder, he has no loyalty to anyone other than himself, the worthless bastard. He went ahead and betrayed old Command Dork Bitch Tits Bill. Now, folks, I didn't much care for old Bitch Tits Bill. Bitch Tits Bill didn't have very much any loyalty either, okay? All right, but getting on with it, folks. I don't need to teach you how to kill any more than I need to teach you a wigger masturbation. Okay, and I think guest number six is somewhat of a troll. But getting on with it, Alex Linder, and it's well understood. Alex Linder, about the same time, in. Just about the time when old Bitch Bill was about to go ahead, the Chicago trial against the faggot juror foreman, the Jew faggot jury foreman who had gone ahead and sent Matt Hale for nothing but words, and words which were really probably not even true, to prison for 40 years in Florence, maximum security. Essentially, he went ahead and printed the faggot Jew juror's name and address, and the thing fell apart in Chicago. But Linder could have gone ahead and eliminated all this data, but he didn't. He waited and waited and waited for years, and then when it came time, he testified for the prosecution. And folks, what I see happening now with the Harfin case is that they don't really have anything, really, to go ahead and even hold him. So what they're doing is that, Harold Covington's talking to his Radio Free Northwest about all these silk suits, right? A.K.A. FBI clowns, FBI tards, Secret Service tards, all the rest of these clowns, running around, getting the local pigs to, harass people, looking for names, essentially trying to find a John Doe number two. Now, folks, if I lived in Washington State or Oregon or somewhere within about, 300 miles. I mean, living 300 miles away from Spokane didn't help old Kevin Harfin. If I lived 500 miles of Spokane, Washington, I would get the hell off of DNNS now. I should have got off a while back ago. And folks, I don't think Kevin Harfin, if he wasn't on DNNS, just talking like a tard, or not talking like a tard, just on DNNS, I don't think he would be in jail right now. Somebody else might be in jail, but maybe nobody else would be in jail. But he is in jail, and they are looking for John Doe number, they're John Doe number two, because he has somewhat of an excuse, and they're looking for something before this trial goes. Now, according to what I read, essentially he was not read his rights or something like that, and the federal judge went ahead and said, well, anything he said to you, anything he said to the FBI cannot be used before he was read his rights. Well, how come Edgar Steele can't get that good a deal? Okay? But I mean, with the Edgar Steele case, I don't know. I have the feeling that the reason he has not been actually sentenced yet is that what they're doing is waiting to see whether or not, just like with Bill White, and just like maybe with Hal Turner, whether or not they wish to go ahead and make new law for someone like me to go ahead and force against them and their children. You see, in the American society, it's not like third world cultures or even Russian ones or even German cultures. Now, the Germans, while stationed for 19 months in Germany, they're in many ways, they're a lot alike Americans, but in many ways, they're not quite like, even though they're white people. I mean, the English are the most, are more like us than the Germans, but the Germans are, in many cases, like us here. And, you know, for someone like myself, who is, about a quarter German, mainly Swede, but a quarter German, you know, I sort of understood them. As they look at it, there's no such thing as a constitution. There's no such thing as a Bill of Rights. You can't say everything you want to say. Essentially, the policemen are usually right, and they have a totally different way of looking at things in many cases. You know, they look upon beer as food, not as a you know, alcoholic drink. As far as if you want to be a whore, you want to be a prostitute, you need to get a prostitute's license, and you need to be inspected for diseases, and you need to screw your customers with a condom, and essentially you need to be a clean whore. But yeah, I mean, it's no big deal for girls who want to go ahead and pay for, you know, luxuries or college or whatever to become professional whores. I mean, the Germans look at things quite differently from Americans. Here in America, we like pretending that we are the land of the free and the home of the brave, and that we got all these rights here, that all these other benighted, even white people, do not have. We are so much better. But folks, in many ways, we are actually even far worse. Even more worse here. And, yes, Frankenwigger, I mean, Anglo-Saxon culture and Germanic culture and Celtic culture and Scandinavian culture are different. It's almost like they're just totally different tribes. And when people go ahead and argue about this tribe is this and this tribe is that, well, folks, I sort of have a little bit of disdain for people saying that, you know, people who had lost their identity as Israelites, how would they possibly remember what tribe they were? But you got to remember, as family groups, they did their best to stay together, and so you might very well have had some sort of pseudo-tribal arrangements from when they migrated from their place of deportment, you know, to Germany, to France, to England, to Italy, to wherever. It's quite possible that like people, far more related to each other by blood than by other tribesmen from a different tribe, might have gone ahead and moved together in family units and tribal units as well. So you might very well have someone who is of a particular tribe who maintained that tribal. Oh, you know, he lost his identity as an Israelite, and he probably lost his identity as a tribesman, but essentially his genes go ahead and have different genes here. Like, for example, they say that a Dane and an Englishman, you know, have no more than 4% genetic drift here, as opposed to the drift between a Swede and a Zulu. Likewise, between a Korean and a Japanese, to much of the dismay of both the Japanese and the Koreans. And yes, you might very well had, you know, these people who, even though they lost identification of what tribe they were, essentially they might have had a little mixture with other tribes, but essentially they moved across. So yes, you have, even among white nations, a difference. Hill Covington was bitching that people don't identify themselves as white. They identify themselves by nationality. Well, folks, that nationality might be very well their own little tribal identification. And folks, that is simply the way it is. I mean, what difference is there really between a chink and a different chink, although they might know the difference? You know, as opposed between a German or an American. That's what I'm trying to say, is that the American system, pretends that it is land of the free and home of the brave. But in many cases, it is in some respects, but also in many respects, the people in Germany, they don't pretend that they have freedoms they don't actually have. They sort of understand is that, guess what, you can't go ahead and call someone a Nazi without paying a price for and having everybody. And folks, you will not have a jury. The German, you know, I mean, nowhere except under the Anglo-Saxon rule of law is there a jury, except maybe a little bit in some of the Scandinavian countries. But folks, most of the white nations do not have a jury system. They have a civil law. And folks, after dealing with how the common law and the abuses of the common law to where it was not really a common law, it was whatever a judge said it was. That's what the, you know, whereas, you know, the Romans, they rebelled against this, quote, common law as practiced by the patricians by saying, hey, every patrician goes ahead and rules on what the hell he wants to do. And that's exactly what the American system is. Folks, when you have a, quote, common law, you end up having rule by judge and rule by lawyer. Folks, the Germans do not have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of lawyers. And folks, generally, in Russia, if you were a lawyer, that was the same as almost saying that you were a Jew. Lawyers were despised because essentially there was no use for a lawyer unless you were a prosecutor. Or you were essentially a defendant who was tasked with, first of all, defending the government. And folks, that's exactly the way it is in this country here. There is a lot of, oh, a lot of similarities between the Russian system and the American system in many, in some ways, even though there's a difference. But let me just tell you what the biggest difference in the American system is. It is fear on the part of the ruling Whiggers and of the Jews that if things get too bad, there will be civil war. The American system and the English system. You've had far more propensity to have civil wars over politics than perhaps any other nation. Now, when I talk about civil war, I'm not talking about which nigger gets which. In which case, yes, the, you know, I mean, essentially, most of these countries are infested by nothing more than one strong man over the other. But in the American system, when we have our civil wars, the civil wars are going to be so much more the bloodier. That's why this Great Tribulation is going to be so much more the bloodier. So when people say, how can Linstead say what he says, like he said to those Secret Service agents? And the answer is, you know, look, Mr. Secret Service Agent, you people have destroyed my family. You went ahead and illegally sent me a nut house because I insisted upon my right to, you know, represent myself. I showed nothing but contempt and hatred for your courts, your pigs, and the rest. And yes, you knocked out a number of my teeth. But folks, look, pig, don't be whining when you have to go in and pay for what you did. And I don't want your money. I don't want anything other than your head and your pelt and your kids' pelt. Don't be whining when you have to pay for what you've done. And I'm not talking about money. Because, folks, there are some people who will want to go ahead and create slaves because they will not want to work here. And, folks, don't believe in the slavery. If someone is evil, if you have evil Whiggers who are on the wrong side, let's not build a prison camp to where, essentially, one white man has to go ahead and look after 10 Whiggers and 15 Muds. Heck, Napoleon might have been able to go ahead and supervise 50 different individuals. But your average Whigger, even if he has leadership ability, is not able to go ahead and supervise and keep in chains 10 Whiggers and 15 Muds. or more like what, 12 or 13 wiggers and 17 muds, not able to do that at all. The only way that we can go ahead and have a manageable new regime if Jesus Christ does not come. Now, Chris Sandeau believes that he will come. But I'm talking to the people who are looking from a 10,000 Warlords project to, look, Mr. Warlord, don't worry about having slaves. Essentially, you have 10 million whites remaining, no MUDs, no Jews, no Uyghurs left, and 10,000 Warlords translates to one strong man per 1,000 people. Essentially, that's achievable. That is achievable, and that's what's going to end up happening. This Great Tribulation will be so horrible that right now, the Christian identity plan should be is to understand that this collapse will take place and there's nothing that can be done about it. My job, in many cases, is to go ahead and accentuate it. In many cases, I speak in parables, like Jesus Christ did. I speak in puns. I use allusions. I use double meanings. And folks, I do not want, in many cases, to be understood except in a pejorative sense. My job is to make sure this Great Tribulation goes ahead and removes all cancer cells. And when Jesus Christ comes to save the remnant, there will be nothing more than righteous people left alive. Joe Cutts, well, that was Eli James's earlier name here. But, going on, well, the thing about it is that there's not going to be any effective, opposition. Like I said with Russ here, I'm a polarizing force. I have not really dealt with James Wickstrom because, folks, Wickstrom is white. But folks, every white Israelite knows what Wickstrom did, is that Wickstrom is arrogant, Wickstrom is stupid, Wickstrom cannot control his pecker. Wickstrom did wrong, he did wrong by an Israelite, he stole his wife, and he relied on Zog to save his worthless life here when that Israelite was going ahead and take his head, both of them, and put him on his mantelpiece for stealing his wife here. And that Israelite died in prison over Wickstrom's sin, and Wickstrom has not expressed any remorse. Wickstrom has not, if Wickstrom had been a true Israelite, he wouldn't have stole a woman in the first place. Here, folks, there's plenty of pussy out there. Heck, you can go ahead and get some from Ali Patricia, although, if you're willing to risk the double male inverse awakening, there's plenty of pussy out there. None of it is worth violating Yahweh's commandments. None of it is worth betraying a fellow Israelite brother. None of it is worth doing what Wickstrom did. But he did do what he did, and he has no remorse over it. So as a result, there's a lot of people who think he's an FBI snitch because the FBI saved his worthless life. In any case, what does Wickstrom have to tell me about Christian identity? Nothing. But folks, I have not got on Wickstrom because at least Wickstrom is not a mamzer. Wickstrom at least understands a little bit about what he's supposed to be saying, and the problem of it is just because I don't want to go ahead and swallow it, swallow a bunch of what I view as hypocrisy, I have not really got down on Wickstrom too much, folks. If you know what Wickstrom done, you're an Israelite, you're not really in any danger of being sold out by Wickstrom. I mean, I got close to going ahead supporting Wickstrom after Butler died, and this old timer told me, Martin, you don't want to go ahead and support Wickstrom. I said, why not? Well, he stole his best friend's wife, and then when the guy got mad about it here, he betrayed him to the FBI, and the man died in prison. And what happens is that Wickstrom hasn't repented, but worst of all here, the idiot has gone ahead and made sex tapes of him with his wife here, and the idiot is going ahead and distributing them. And I've talked to some people who said that James Wickstrom was his uncle here, and, well, you want to see my uncle's sex tapes here? I can go ahead and say it. I said, no need to. I don't really want to look at something like that. Not really even remotely interested. In fact, it might sear my vision. But folks, if you follow Wickstrom, then you deserve what you get here. I mean, I don't worry about Wickstrom. I have been worried about Mamzers. I've been worried about Jews. I've been worried about Eli James, Dan Johns, William Fink, Brian Rail. But on the other hand, I don't worry too much about them because, essentially, if you are with them, you deserve whatever the hell you get. We're finally getting to Linder. Linder has always ran a data mining operation. He's always ran a data mining operation. From day one, he's run a data mining operation. He was abandoned. He was abandoned as a journalism student by American Spectator. They figured out he was a liar, and they just threw him aside, a little right-wing liar, and they didn't need him. So they abandoned him. And then William Pierce needs to have a second front, so he goes ahead and he vets a little critter, and, we can rebuild him. Remember, I don't know, a lot of you are too old for remember the 6 million man here when old Lee Majors went ahead and supposedly was an astronaut, he fell, in a skydiving accident, and essentially, we can rebuild him. Our technology is that. So they went ahead and gave him two legs, mechanical legs, arm, an eye, and he was called the Bionic Man. He was super strong, super fast. You can go ahead and see things with a 6 million man. At the very start, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. Well, that's what William Pierce has said. It's a guts. It's a Guido Weasel. We're not Jew cancer yet. Not even costing me back yet. We can rebuild him. We can go ahead and give him $3,000. We can go ahead and set up Vanguard News Network. We can go ahead and set up Second Front here. We have the technology. We have the not yet gut sick Guido Weasel with not yet Jew-ass cancer. He's the $3,000 man. He can live in Granny's basement like a meerkat. We can give him a little stipend. We can give him a couple $100 a month. We can rebuild him. We can go ahead and take him as a journalism student here, abandoned by the American Spectator. He's the $666 man. Weasel, an ass clown just barely sleeping. Quick us, we can rebuild it. We have the Order's Ogbox. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic ass clown. Alex Linder will be that bionic ass clown. Dumber than it was before. Anal, vulgar, ass clown. He's the, Linder, he's a $666 hogbuck man. We can rebuild them, said, you know, William Pierce. That, he went in and rebuilt them, and then he died of pancreatic cancer or something like that. And, you know, from what I believe, essentially Zog told Pierce, look, you spend the last couple years of your life, or the last couple months of your life, in jail cell with niggers, or you can go ahead, you know, on a charge of receiving stolen order money, or essentially you can make sure that this National Alliance no longer exists. Essentially, we'll want the money back. And, folks, you can go ahead and read the same thing about in Hunter with how this rogue FBI agent uses this assassin of mixed-race couples, you know, based upon Jill Paul Franklin. And essentially, this FBI agent in Hunter goes ahead and uses old Chuck Yeager. You know, his name means hunter in German. He uses Yeager to go ahead and kill his enemies, his Jew enemies, his nigger enemies, you know, everyone who goes ahead and isn't, you know, against this rogue FBI agent. And he goes ahead and he finds this guy named Saul Rogers, who is impersonating a sort of Christian identity pastor, and tells him to go ahead and shoot him. At the very end of the book, Yeager goes ahead and shoots and kills this rogue FBI agent who is using him as his own personal assassination, you know, in order to go ahead and seek power. And that's pretty well what the book Hunter was about. Well, folks, don't you think that Pierce may have, in real life, gone ahead and used Linder as his little hunter, and been in turn used by Zog as a hunter himself? So you have Linder. And I remember after Pierce died, within a month, Linder is whining that he does not have enough money for VNN. There was not VNNF here. It's VNN. And does Eric Leiby want him? Nope. Who wants him? You know, the only one who wants him here is Billy Roper. And V Bulletin is new. Stormfronts used it. And what they do is that Linder's VNN used to be one hell of a webpage. You had people, you know, from Pierce and a bunch of them who would go ahead and contribute. Their writing, it was very good writing. Now VNN is just a, you know, just a tar corral, just a forum. And forum writing is never as good as someone who sits down and actually takes, you know, takes the time to write a short story or an essay or something like that here. So the intellectual content of VNN has gone downhill. You still have somebody called Socrates who's just republishing old stuff. But same thing happened on Stormfront. Stormfront no longer even has a web page. Used to. And then it was not updated once they went in and bought forum software. VBulletin. Now, they got, you know, VNN got software. But who paid for it? Answer, Billy Roper. Billy Roper was one of the first people purged. Like Gleeby and the rest here. You had these characters. And by the way, what's going on at VNNF here? Is you have old Polly the Parrot and you have Hattie the Meerkat. Essentially, they're going ass to mouth. They're trying to go ahead and bring up Kevin Alfred Strom, and their main problem with, you know, if you go ahead and look at the latest threads, their problem with Edgar Steele is Edgar Steele talked against Joe Fields, but more importantly, talked against Kevin Alfred Strom. So that's why old Polly the Parrot, Polly the Zog Parrot, and Hatting have been talking shit about Edgar Steele, because Edgar Steele talks shit about poor old Kevin Alfred Strom. Now, I'm not sure if Kevin Alfred Strom was guilty. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, because supposedly he's on our side. But, folks, he's a weak character. He went ahead and pled guilty. So even if he was guilty or not, he went ahead and was weak, and he pled guilty to it. Now, he had a goofy wife, but, folks, he's had a number of goofy wives. He's a weak character. He's weak mentally and morally, Kevin Alfred Strom is. So, pretty well in the last week or so, it's been revealed that Hatting and Polly the Parrot are talking shit against Edgar Steele because Edgar Steele had some harsh things to say about Kevin Alfred Straub's pleading guilty and Joe Fields pleading guilty to do child molestation crimes. Folks, I never, ever, ever, ever thought of ever, even in the worst days of ever, taking a plea bargain, of going ahead and going along with Zog or anything here. As I look at my children, my grandchildren have been sacrificed. Essentially, they're the down payment for sending the children of regime criminals to hell. Essentially, their lives, you know, our lives as a family is essentially the down payment for essentially the regime criminals, the Jews, the Mamzers, the Uyghurs, paying for their family being destroyed without any mercy, without any regard. Because as you do unto others, so shall be done unto you. Now, folks, I've not done anything to Brian Rio or Eli James other than say that, truthfully, that they're Jews and Mamzers, have no part in Christian identity. And anybody who associates with them have no part in Christian identity. But, folks, Linder brought on Hadding less than 5 days after Edgar Steele got found guilty by a jury of Uyghurs in Boise, Idaho. He lets Hadding run wild after kicking Hadding out for lying that Edgar Steele had said something that he didn't say. That Edgar Steele was guilty of plotting to, you know, murder his wife based upon what he said to his wife afterwards. So Linder needed to get rid of Hadding. But once Edgar Steele's been found guilty, he can go ahead and bring back Hadding. And he doesn't much care for Kevin Alfred Straub. He's supposedly screwing Elisha Straub. But Linder cares for nobody but himself here. So, folks, I am seeing, and I'm, you know, just like I predicted that Edgar Steele would not make bond or would not make bail because otherwise the case would fall apart, I'm predicting that the FBI will go ahead and probably find a John Doe number 2, manufacturing one, and their number one suspect will be some BNNF tard within 500 miles of Spokane, Washington. And I predict that Alex Linder will be testifying just like he did against Bitch Bill against Kevin Alfred Straub. Okay? I'm predicting that. Okay? So, anyway. Well, I don't know. I don't know about Kevin Alfred Straub being guilty. I mean, you have no idea. But he's a weak character. He's a weak character for pleading guilty when he wasn't. He's a weak character for being guilty when he was. He's a weak guilty if he was guilty. But, folks, you have these two tards, and Alex Linder's letting them go on. And, folks, I'm predicting that Alex Linder will go ahead and testify against Keith Harpham, just like he testified against Mitch Bill. And what he's doing is he's muddying the water against characters like Matt Parrott, you know, who's just some Uyghur from Indiana who wants to think that he's going to create with American Renaissance readers and Council of Conservative Citizens readers and all the rest here. They're going to go ahead and create an ethnic separatist group. Hill Covington was reading about this guy who used to be on Occidental Descent, which was Cut Hair Walsh's group. Cut Hair Walsh has written some fairly good stuff, but some of it's got so loopy, it's like he's waiting to go back to the nut house again about Lord Scorpius, Vulcan, Lord Vulcan, Lord this, Lord that, but mainly Lord Scorpius. I guess he thinks he's he's born under one of these zodiac signs, of the Scorpion, so he's Lord Scorpius or something like that. And Black Run America and all this sort of thing, and some of it is just what the hell, you know, what the fuck is, you know, what the fuck is Hunter Walsh talking about here? So, folks, I mean, if you want to have a informative show. At least Harold Covington gives you a very informed show. Now, I think this is an informative show, too. I'm making a prediction. I'm making a prediction that Alex Linder will testify against Kevin Hossam, that they will go ahead and either manufacture evidence before September 11th, and if they don't manage to manufacture evidence, they will go ahead and push the trial date back like they did with Edgar Steele. And eventually, when they can no longer go anymore, they will go ahead and they will pack the jury, and Alex Linder will testify against Kevin Hossam. They might very well find a John Doe number two, and the chances are if they do find a John Doe number two, he will be from the ranks of VNNF, maybe Sperm Front, you don't know. But he'll go ahead and find a TARD, who they will also go ahead and try. And I'm not sure if they'll try them separate enough or different, but essentially, Alex Linder will go ahead and testify against Kevin Hossam. So right now, what he's doing is he's coming up with all sorts of idiotic, irrelevant shit like, Greg Johnson is a homosexual from San Fax Crisco. Well, yes, he's a homosexual. Yes, he's in San Fax Crisco, where he belongs. And that will be what ends up happening. I'm going ahead and making these predictions based upon what has already occurred. It's occurred again and again and again in this bowel movement of ours. So, folks, what would I have, recommendation would I have? Well, if you're white, heterosexual, and post on VNNF here, stop. Stop right now. Don't post on VNNF. You might even not want to go ahead and cut down your Sperm Front posting, because I'm quite sure Don Black would go ahead and keep records on you, too. Okay? Some of you folks need to go ahead and maintain a low profile. I'm predicting that Alex Linder will go ahead and testify against Kevin Hossam, a.k.a. Joe Snuffy. I'm predicting, pretty well, judging by that here, they'll either have this trial on September 11th or, because they'll find the TARD. And that's why Hill Covington talking about today, on the 1st of September in his Radio Free Northwest. If you go ahead and listen to it, Monday he was just filling it up with bits and pieces of this and that, waiting for the last third of the show, and then he decided to talk about Zog's secret police here. Now, folks, Zog has a belief that his little pig lice are going to go ahead and save it from collapse. It's not. When you've gone ahead and stole everything that, pig pension funds, school teacher pension funds, everybody's pension fund needs to have, you pretty well stole everything that's not red hot or nailed down for greedy Jews and Shabbos wiggers. And when you have, in Texas, right now they are praying that this tropical storm, Irene, will do to Texas what it did to Vermont. They are hoping that this tropical storm will go ahead and hit somewhere around Galveston, Texas, where that big hurricane wall, there'll be a little bitty level one hurricane or less. It'll be a tropical storm, and that it will push on, dumping a whole bunch of rain, 6-7 inches of rain, from between Galveston to Dallas, up to Oklahoma City. Or they'll go ahead and go west here to Abilene, San Antonio. Well, San Antonio, Abilene, as far, west as El Paso. That'd be nice. they're hoping for 6-7 inches. They're hoping that what happens, what happened to Vermont will happen to Texas. Because, folks, they sold a lot of their herds. And, they said, luckily, I was listening to staff from NPR talking about that. He says it's the worst year they've ever seen, and they've had to sell their cows, and luckily everybody in the world is buying their beef, so they're not going to take too much of a hit. But folks, if you sell all your cows, and when it does rain, where are you going to go ahead and get more cows to raise some more cows here? Folks, they're pretty well eating their seed corn, a.k.a. their seed cows in Texas. So folks, with all this stuff, with all these earthquakes, with all these floods, with these wars and rumors of wars, with this destruction of, say, Gaddafi, someone's pointing out, they were bitching, we're going to have disorder when Gaddafi no longer rules. Well, what the hell do you expect? You have a whole bunch of sand nigger tribes, every single one at war with each other, and you've gone ahead and got rid of this dictator who essentially ruled for 40-some years with with his thumb on the scale, with an iron hand, and you're going to get rid of him? And then you're going to whine like a pussy about chaos? Folks, you've created this chaos. And folks, this chaos will go ahead and it will come to Zog. It's just a matter of time. So folks who are listening, don't go ahead and try to establish order with disorderly people, with retards, with fools, with idiots, with buffoons. Don't try to go ahead and build something. You know, don't go ahead and try to build bricks, not only without straw, but without good clay, with nothing but shit. You know, and this is my criticism of Harold Covington. He's trying to build revolutionary bricks with not only not without straw, but without clay, with nothing more than shit like McFag and all these other mamsers and all these other retards. You know, I mean, I wish Northwest, you know, the best here, but, you know, folks, I hope he has enough sense to not go ahead and get himself on the radar and get in trouble. Simply because, based upon being associated with something that I don't think is going to really get off the ground. It might, but I doubt it. And it's not because Harold Covington is not trying or doing everything, he's doing his best. In fact, I listen to his podcast, listen to every one, and sometimes I hear a little bit discouraging Harold Covington's voice here because he understands what he's up against, okay? Well, in some cases, Muammar ruled. Oh, he was a dictator. There was a lot of people who didn't like him. He ruled it over the ones who didn't like him, too, here, Frank Wigger. But essentially, he did rule. I mean, what's going to happen on is that somebody went ahead and said is that Libya should be really divided into about three countries. The eastern portion over the Cyrenians, the western portion over the Tripolitans, and the southern portion over all these Berber tribes running around with their camels and their goats between oases in the Saharan desert. And essentially, Libya is divided in three parts, and normally, if you do not have an overall dictator, it's going to divide itself again into three or more parts again. Okay? So, they do service them here. So, in any case, Necro Butcher. No, they're not trying to kill me and set it up to look like a suicide. Not that I know of, anyway. I mean, shoot. Well, just like they did in Iraq. And what ended up happening is that the Shias, because they're the most common, they're the ones who are in charge here. And guess who they look to protect them? Answer, Iran. So essentially, all this stupid crap, all it did was have a bunch of wars which would eventually benefit Iran. But folks, chaos really does not benefit anyone. The Nimrod, the Cainite and the Nimrodian search for order is based upon rule by a Jew at the top, telling the Uyghurs what to do. And folks, now you have the Uyghurs. Essentially, their Uyghur empire is falling apart because there's fewer and fewer and fewer Uyghurs, and the Uyghurs that remain are stupid Uyghurs. undisciplined wiggers, not even able to take care of themselves no more. And what you see is that you see more and more and more of the niggers demanding more and more and more, and they're being less and less and less again because the wiggers cannot take care of themselves. The wiggers cannot take care of the beaners. The wiggers cannot take care of the niggers. And what you have is you have Zog trying to impose order when there's nothing but chaos around. Like I somewhat explained to these Secret Service agents who were saying that why shouldn't I go to Canada? Why shouldn't I go to Mexico? New Zealand? And, you know, I said that I had a better idea. Why don't we just simply have a civil war? And at the very end, just have a few million survivors divvied up among 10,000 little countries. Because, you know, look, Zog, just like everyone, I remember, and I've said this several times, I remember when I was a kid reading this Reader's Digest condensed book at the end of a Reader's Digest from the 60s about these dissident Russians who were set up by having a loaf of bread someplace, and they, quote, stole that loaf of bread and went home and ate it. Here comes the KGB, says, you can go to prison for 10 years for stealing from the Soviet state, or you can go ahead and spy on these people. And from what I gather, I think they refused to spy, and so they did serve time in a gulag. They survived it. I mean, it was not the same gulag as it was at the time of, you know, under Khrushchev, as it was during the time of Stalin, but still was a rather grim place, but they survived it, and they became open dissidents. But you still had the Russian KGB going after what little remained of the tall poppies, or the tall flowers, or the tall daisies, and essentially trying to subvert it to their own use or trying to eliminate it. And folks, what ended up happening with the Russian Soviet Empire? The answer is that it became such a shithole that not even the Jews wanted to live there. So they moved to America, became Russian porn spammers or Russian mafia, or they, you know, the Golden Horn, or they moved to Israel. Because they made Russia into such a shithole that not even a Jew wanted to go ahead and live there among the Tartars and Mongols and, Slavic Uyghurs, if such there were any left. And as a result, a secret police force, you know, like Harold Covington says, they're incompetent to solve anything. All they can do is just simply set up people. All they can do is just simply spy and lie and hope that their little scheme will continue to exist. But sooner or later, it falls apart. And that's what's happening with Zog. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Truett said a number of things. Maybe I'll make Truett.
Midnight.
Yeah, I'd laugh at Truett. I'm going to go ahead and do that Truett thing Sunday about what Gillette and Truett said. But in any case, folks, Gillette and Truett simply revealed that they were criminals. Talking about how many times I got raped by niggers. Well, guess what, Mr. Truett, Alan Truett? I bet you got to where you were raped by niggers about at least once every couple weeks. That's why you joined as an Anglo-Mestizo, the Aryan Brotherhood, and you pretend to be an Aryan Nations pastor now that you're out of jail. I mean, you're just another Brian Wright here. I bet if I seen it, I'd see a little brown-eyed, quirk-eyed mamzer playing at shit. Just like, you know, with Gillette here. A stupid, greedy, weak, stupid man who got kicked out. Got kicked out by Ray Redfern because, hey, he's just a fuck-up. So, anyway. Well, the thing about it is that I won't bring Truett to his knees. I mean, what does Truett have to offer anybody as a criminal? What can he go ahead and solve? What can he go ahead and change? And the answer is nothing. Truett doesn't go solve anything. Truett can't fix anything. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and I may or may not have a next segment of the Movement Turd, but essentially, I have made my prediction about Alex Winder. I believe he's going to testify against Kevin Harpham, just like he did with Bitch Tits Bill. I do, you know, I have no idea what the little silk suits, as Huffington calls them, as I call them, Zog Pig Lice, as I call them, what they're going to go ahead and what evidence they're going to fabricate, what card they're going to find to go ahead and break. But folks, heaven help you if you're one of the cards they decide to break. I don't think Larry Fairfax is doing real good. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And I may, or, you know, this may not be the end of the chat. So folks, hail victory. White men clad in black are we, aye, aye, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, aye, aye, oh. White men go, we vote ho, our mistress root, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse walls, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie, oh, who was then the ruling man? Kyrie, white men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On dogling neck we stomp our boots to stamp out God's own. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its great, aye, aye, oh, the love of God our only need, aye, aye, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, aye, aye, oh, our sons won't have to go and fight, aye, aye, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.